Welcome to Women and Manufacturing, where accomplished women interview accomplished women.
We are very excited today to be on Manufacturing Talk Radio with an incredibly special person. When we're talking about our Women in Manufacturing show that's coming up, this is the iconic person that you might think of for Women in Manufacturing. She was one of the original Rosie the Riveters from World War II. Anna Hess, Anna, thank you so much for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Anna, like I said earlier, I am so excited to have you on, and there could be no other better person to be on our premiere show for Women and Manufacturing. So we're gonna ask you a lot of questions about things that happened a long time ago, and we have plenty of time, and you can take your time in answering our questions and a conversation about the how and what and so on that we are so anxious to hear about. So I'm going to start off a question or two, and I'd like to know as to when did you first get involved with manufacturing during the 1940s? Tell us if
well,
you would.
I was in church when Pearl Harbor was bombed in the evening because we had no electric. We didn't get the news till late in the evening, so the next day, every young person in the country volunteered for service, but my father and older brothers were not eligible for the draft, and they went to Akron, Ohio, to go to work in the industries, war industries there. I was just out of the eighth grade. My mother and I stayed on the farm, which was a small 33-acre farm that we all made our living there, and when my dad found a place for us to live, and of course that was shortly after the war started, we went to Akron, Ohio. I went to school, and my mother went to work as a riveter on wings of B-29s in Goodyear Aircraft.
What was your mom's name, just so we can have it for the record?
LMA King, K-I-N-G.
Okay,
that's how I got
you
involved, because I wanted to recognize her. She was a wonderful example for any young woman. She was born in 1887, a real pioneer woman.
Boy, I'll say. My mother was born in 1900, but she wasn't much of a pioneer. She came to New York and lived a good life.
How did you become a Rosie the Riveter, Anna? I mean, that's a question everybody's got to be asking. You know, how did you become that poster person?
Well, I tell you what. In 2011, I saw an article in our local paper wanting to honor Rosie the Riveters. And at that time, I wanted to honor my mother, keep her memory alive. So I contacted the National Riveter Association in California, and they called me, and I sent in a donation, and they sent me a certificate where she was registered as a Rosie the Riveter. But in the meantime, they asked me what I did, and through that conversation, I come to realize that because I did a man's job during World War II, I could also become a Rosie the Riveter. So that's how I become involved with the Rosie the Riveter program.
So when you went to work, Rosie, Anna, when you went to work, what were you doing?
Well, I'll tell you a little story. I was going to high school, and where I lived, there was a tire manufacturing plant close by, and I heard that they was hiring. So I went down to the office, and I applied. I told them a little white lie about my age. I liked a few weeks being 16 years old at the time, but they did hire me. So I went to work in the tire plant, and my first job was a splicer for the inside of small truck tires. From that, I went to a band builder, putting those plies together for the inside of small truck tires. I worked at that job the longest. That was a man's job, but it was hard work.
I bet that job didn't do well for your fingernails.
Oh, it was a little bit tough on the hands. I was, shortly after I went to work, I was called into the office and said they heard I needed a working permit. And by that time, I was 16 years old. So he was said, I'd be glad to give you your working permit. If you ever need anything, you just come see me. Now get out there and go to work. So that was my first experience with manufacturing.
So let me ask you, Anna, when you went to work at the age of 16 years old minus a couple of weeks, how much were you getting paid?
It was somewhere around 35 cents an hour. And we worked an 8-hour shift. I worked from 2 in the afternoon till 10 at night.
It's such an incredible story, because it's, you know, something we've seen in movies and you hear about growing up, and when you study World War II in high school or college, you might see that poster of Rosie the Riveter. But to actually speak with someone who was literally on the front lines in manufacturing as a woman doing a man's job, which you probably did better than a man anyways, it's just exciting to hear what you did then. Now, what was your experience? What were the experience of the women on the line in the factory while all of this war stuff is going on in Europe and the Pacific? Can you share with us what some of the conversations were on the assembly lines?
Well, you know, back then we got very, very little news about the war. Maybe if we had a chance, we went to the movie and we would see the reports on the newsreel of what was going on. And basically what we read in the papers, and that was old news by the time we got it, we were not completely aware of what was going on. We were aware that we were doing something special. Manufacturing made us very aware that what we were doing was important, that we needed to buy war bonds. We needed to, of course, we had rationing back then. You couldn't get sugar. You couldn't get butter. You couldn't get especially tires and gasoline and all this. We knew, we had firsthand knowledge, but we weren't getting the frontline news as it was happening like we do today.
But you did know that you were doing really something important. And
oh, yes.
It probably came out a lot later how important it really was.
Yes, we knew by VE Day how important what we were doing was really important. Our sole reason for being there was to bring the boys home. You know, they were keeping us safe by being in the battles overseas. They were protecting us here at home, but we wanted them home.
Let me ask you, Anna, and I don't know, you've met a lot of people and you've done traveling, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but how emotional was this for you to be in a manufacturing plant for the war effort and your mother being in a manufacturing plant for the war effort? How emotional was that?
Well, you realize that I was just a kid. I mean, I was 16 years old, off the farm. We had no money. I didn't know what a candy bar was, really. And
wow.
I wasn't totally aware at my age what it all meant until I saw my mother. She had never worn a pair of slacks in her life. She had never had her hair tied up. She'd never had her hair cut, actually. I knew when she would come home really tired, and she didn't go to work until she was 56 years old. And the riveter guns was really heavy. We didn't have electric. We had no concepts of what electrical appliances was back then. So for me, I had money in my pocket. I realized I was doing something to aid the country, but it wasn't nearly as profound to me as it was to my mother.
But you did see how your mom was affected, and you probably learned some of that by watching your mom going through the issues that she went through.
Oh, sure. It was a total change from coming off the farm where we grew everything that we had to eat. There, you know, this was the heart of the Depression. There was no jobs. Everybody had a job to do. Even me at 5 years old, I realized that if you didn't work, you didn't eat. I mean, it was as simple as that. We grew everything, canned all our food. Just unimaginable things to survive back then. But then to see her go from running the household, working in the field along the rest of the family, it was just a total change for her to go into a big city and a total change of everything, lifestyle and all. I just admired her so much because I always gave her credit. She was a wife, a mother, a teacher, a nurse, a doctor. You did everything for yourself back during the Depression, living on a farm.
So,
it's astonishing to me, you know, growing up, I was born in 1952. By the time I had any realization of what kind of creature comforts I had, I was probably in my young teen years. So to look back 90 years, 80 years, and realize no electricity on the farm, you grow your own food, your canopy has something to eat in the winter, just how difficult those conditions were here in America. I mean, here in America, we think, this is the land of milk and honey, and we've got everything we could possibly dream of. That was not your experience growing up, was it?
That hasn't always been the case. I look back and think, you know, we were poor, but really everybody was. We didn't know we were poor, and we were rich because we had a mother and father who worked from daylight to dark to keep us fed and clothed. It was just a necessity. You live back then, you made your own way.
So, Anna, how long did you work in the tire factory?
You
joined them when you were 16?
Yes, and when the war was winding down, the plant geared up to bring jobs, to make jobs available for the young men who were coming home from the war on the point system. And we went from an 8-hour shift, 3 8-hour shifts, to four 6-hour shifts. And we began to employ young soldiers that was coming home. And we employed several of the young men. It was interesting to watch them adopt from doing what we did, because at that time the machines were set up for women, and the big tall soldiers coming back had a problem working on the shorter machines and this sort of thing. But at that time I met this young man who was returning from the war, who had been in the military for 4 years and 7 months. He had been in Alaska when Pearl Harbor was bombed. He had went in the service as a National Guard unit, and they were called up early. But anyway, I met him. We dated for about 8 months, and we were married in 1946.
So how'd you feel about when you were working and the boys were returning home and you were now getting less hours? How did you feel about that?
Well, we were just,
is it good,
just so
bad?
Just so glad to have those boys home. You can't imagine. I mean, some of them came home with injuries and this sort of thing. We would gladly give up our job for them to have a job then. But because I was in the tire, now the day that the war was over, aircrafts everywhere gave them the pink slip the next day. They shut down immediately. But I was working in the tire industry, and because the tire industry was gearing up to build new cars. We couldn't build fast enough the tires that they needed to keep the new cars on the road. So we made jobs. There was jobs everywhere. But the day that the war ended, my mother got a pink slip. So my dad at that time was disabled, so there was nothing for them to do but move back to the farm, because they couldn't live on the one income coming in. But my job did not end. So my dad was determined. See, I was still 16 at that age, that time, and my dad was determined I must go back to the farm, and I begged to stay in Akron because I could make it on my own at 16. So, in thinking back, my mother was my savior, because she said, look, she has a good head on her shoulder. Let's give her a chance. So they moved back to the farm. My girlfriend and I got an apartment, and we stayed there working in the plant until I was married later that year.
That's an excellent view of what was going on at that time. So let me ask you, when was it that you became a sort of celebrity? I understand that you had met the King and Queen of the Netherlands. Is that right?
You know, that's funny to me to think I'm a celebrity. I'm still just that big old country girl. I was. I'll never be a celebrity. I just did what everybody did back then to keep the country safe, and what we had to do to be a strong American. I'll put it like that. But to say I'm a celebrity, that's something I'm not. But it has been an amazing few years of the later part of my life. I'll soon be 89, and the last 4 years have just been incredible. I have met so many wonderful people, including the King and Queen of the Netherlands. But we were invited in 2014 to Three Rosies to go to the Netherlands to be thanked for our service because of the planes and ships that women helped to build. We helped to feed a starving nation. The people in the Netherlands were starving because they had cut off the supply lines people there, and they could get no food. So we actually met people who were starving back then, and they were so appreciative of everything that the women did during the war. They couldn't thank us enough. They treated us like royalty. It was just such a wonderful experience to meet some of those people and hear the stories that they had to tell. But it's also been a real pleasure to meet many of the Rosies and hear the many stories that they have to tell.
Well, I'd like to share with you, just to let you know how much of a celebrity that you are and the women who that you were partners with. When I told individuals who belong to a lot of the manufacturing organizations today that we were starting the new radio show, Women in Manufacturing, and that our first guest was Anna Hess, a Rosie the Riveter, they almost without hesitation, everyone said, oh, you're having Anna Hess on your show? What a great idea. There are so many people, Anna, that know you and know of you and know of all of the Rosies that did such an incredible job to help save and protect not only the United States, but as pointed out by the Netherlands, you did a great job protecting those who were in the war theaters. And so for them, I'm going to thank you also. What a great job that you guys did. I would like to ask you a question about today, women in manufacturing and women and manufacturing. They're an underutilized group of people. And do you have any ideas or suggestions that or recommendations for women to get into manufacturing? And, you know, today they don't make 35 cents an hour anymore. They're making $30, $40 an hour or more. And what thoughts do you have for them to participate in helping America?
Oh, yes. I am just so sorry that I'm not 18 today to go into manufacturing. I think that this is just a whole new opportunity for a whole new generation. Yes, we need all the education we can get because I realize how much more technical things are today. But to start over, that is certainly where I would start, would be manufacturing, because the jobs have gotten more technical, but they are not the difficult working conditions that they were back then. There's so much room for advancements and knowledge and technical skills that I don't mean you shouldn't learn to work with your hands. That is also a gift that you can fall back on. Get all the education you can get, but get that skill that takes you into manufacturing. You got so many things out there that a woman can do today that were considered a man's job that has been made more easily to do by the technical skills that we have today. I just think it's an amazing opportunity for any young woman in this society today. I am just sorry that I'm not 18 today, so I could join in all the knowledge and the education and all that the opportunity affords them.
Rosie. I'm going to call you Rosie because I keep calling you Rosie.
That's fine.
What if I could get you a job today in manufacturing? Are you available?
Well, I tell you what. I worked at the Goodyear. I worked at the tire company till 1948. I came back to Morgantown. I married the young man, came back to Morgantown, which was his home. After 4 years, we had the son. I stayed home those 4 years. Then I went to work at a garment plant, and I worked there for 37 years. And then I stayed
wow.
home for a couple years, and I couldn't stand being retired. So I went to work for as a shuttle driver for a well-known automobile rental company. I worked there for another 12 years. I retired from there, and then I volunteered at our VA branch of the Veterans Administration for 3 or 4 years, and I got into the Rosie the Riveter organization. So you see, it pays to be active, keep your body moving physically and your mind sharp. You got to keep moving.
So it's not out of the question that if I got you a job, that you would willingly join.
I'd give my best effort.
Anna,
I'm always looking for something to do.
Anna, this has been really a super conversation. Tim, do you have anything to add to this?
Well, I'm just curious, Anna, the family farm that you grew up on with Mom and Dad, is it still in the family?
Yes, one of my nephews lives on the farm today.
Well, God
but
bless.
No, they
That's
don't.
Just wonderful.
They don't farm it much. I mean, they might have a little garden out back, but they don't do the big cornfields and the apple orchards and all that that we did back then.
No, but it's awfully nice to know that that heritage is still there from where your mother was raised and raised a family. That is really remarkable. Anna, we want to thank you both for being on Manufacturing Talk Radio, and not just you, but every Rosie the Riveter. Some 3 or 4 million women went to work in the war effort the same years you did because the boys were overseas fighting for our freedom. We want to thank you for contributing to that war effort and our personal freedom today.
I appreciate that. There was the same amount of women working in industry back then as there was soldiers in the Army at that time. This is unbelievable,
sure.
But that's the truth.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Anna, this was terrific, and as we said to you earlier, we're going to get you copies of the show that you could share it with your family. I'm sure they're going to be proud as punch of the things that you've done, and now they're going to have a permanent record of our conversation. And we loved having you on, and everyone that I've talked to in manufacturing, particularly women, and I told them what we were doing, they all want to know when we're airing the show so that they can hear your story. And it's marvelous, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you so very much. And I was, and my family was so pleased that I was a guest speaker at the at the presentation in Washington. It was such a thrill to be able to speak to all the young women who were in an industry. What a wonderful group of young ladies, and I just wish them all the best. And thank you so much for having me.
Wait a minute. You're not done yet, Anna. What presentation are you talking about? We left that out. What presentation was that?
What presentation was that? You don't know about?
Yeah, in Washington.
Yeah, in Washington.
No.
The Step Up program that honored the 100 young women for, you all honored them, the Association of Manufacturers. there was over 100 young women, and I was the guest speaker. Can you believe there was 700 people there, and I had nerve enough to get on that stage as the only guest speaker at that presentation. I was scared to death.
When was that, Anna?
When was it? Oh, gee.
Yes.
Let me find my notes. It was the 20th of last month.
April 20th.
Yes.
With the Manufacturing Institute.
Yes.
Yeah, the STEP program.
Oh, it's not the same organization?
Actually, the Manufacturing Institute is part of the National Association of Manufacturers. So, yes, excellent organization. And, gosh, congratulations on being a guest speaker there. That sounds like it was great fun.
And I was honored with a STEP up plaque and all, and every one of those 100 or 120 young women wanted to shake my hand and take a picture, and I thought I was never going to get out of the room. It was such a thrill.
You deserve recognition.
So many interesting things. Don't retire and sit down in an easy chair when you get to be 65. You have more to contribute to society than retiring to the easy chair.
No, I agree. And we take our hat off to you, also to the Mohawk Rubber Company, for which you worked during 1942-1945, and all of the companies that employed women in manufacturing to help the war effort, and all the companies that today are employing women in manufacturing to help with building America. So, Rosie,
I have one more thing to add. I am associated with an organization. They found me through the Rosie the Riveter organization. It is called Thanks Plain and Simple. This lady, her name is Ann Montague, and she founded this organization about 9 years ago. And she has been instrumental in finding hundreds of women, and what she does is find them and records their story and sends this information on to different organizations, museums, and all that would like to have record of the women who worked during the war years. So I would just like to say thanks a million to her, because she's the one that found me and has made it available to talk to people like you, or to go to the Netherlands and this sort of thing. So I can't say enough thanks to Thanks Plain and Simple for finding all the young ladies that they have found. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I was honored as a guest at the in Charleston, West Virginia, where there was 25 Rosie the Riveters there, and there was 7 new ones that she had found in the last few months to record their story. And I just can't say enough about that group and what she does on her own. She's spent the last 8 years of her life and many thousands of dollars finding these ladies and recording their stories.
Well, we'll make an extra CD for her, too.
I would certainly hope that you would.
Okay.
And for those of you who are listening, the organization that Anna Hess has referred to is all spelled out, thanksplainandsimple.org. Please go there to check them out. And, Rosie, thank you so much for being on Manufacturing Talk Radio and the contributions you made during the war effort and all of your life. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Love your advice about stay active after 65. I think that's wonderful. Lou?
Yeah, just keep those feet moving. Don't stop.
Yeah. But considering I'm 74, I'm 9 years ahead of the 65, and I just came back yesterday from a National Association Manufacturing event in Washington, D.C. myself, and
oh,
I seem to be
great.
Getting more. Yeah, it was great. I met a lot of great people. We heard Vice President Pence speak, and we heard Paul Ryan speak. And it truly is a wonderful country that we live in, and I'm taking advantage of everything that I can, as you have. So,
Anna, just hope
thank
that
you
we can bring
much.
Some of those manufacturing jobs to this country to put more of our young women and young men to work. The sooner the better, okay?
You got it. We're doing that job every day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful rest of your day, Anna, and we may reach back to you in the future. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. And that was Rosie the Riveter, who we spoke with as we begin our show, Women in Manufacturing. We look forward to all of our listeners tuning in. Past, present, and future stories, terrific stuff going on in manufacturing. Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio.